Welcome to the Rock Church. My name's Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. We are in Romans chapter 16. We are almost finished. Next week is our last week in Romans. And everybody said, aww. It's all good. It's right here in your Bible, baby. You can read it every day. If you could, would you go to Romans chapter 16 in your Bibles, please? And while you get there, I would love to invite you, remind you one more time, tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here, we're going to be reading through this letter from Paul to the church in Rome together, start to finish. Doesn't that sound amazing? It's free, too. Did we tell you that? I'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Amen? All right. Cool. You got to your Bibles? Here's your handout. It was handed to you if you want to follow along. By raise of hands, how many of y'all feel like when you were growing up, you had a pretty overprotective parent? Be honest, they're not here. Maybe mama's here. All right, not that many. Okay. How many of you, as you got older, you started thinking and you started considering and reflecting on that, and you're like, oh, you know what? I see that mama actually just really cared about me. She wanted me to be safe. She was looking out for me. How many of you now, you'd have some time to think, you'd go, oh, mama just really cared. She wanted to keep me safe. Amen. Y'all hands don't work. You don't want to participate. It's all good. I can tell you, growing up, my mom, man, as a teenager, as I was heading out to all the death metal, punk rock, straight edge, hardcore shows for all my nights of headbanging and crowd surfing and mosh pitting, my mom would always come out to the door on my way out and say, baby, have fun, say hi to Kellen and Jesse and Bacon. Bacon was my friend, he was a vegan, so we called him Bacon. But she'd always say, but listen, have fun, but please don't do drugs. Please don't do drugs, Bri-Bri. Which I'd go, mom, trust me, I don't do drugs. And she would say, yeah, that's what I would tell my parents too, right? But really, listen to me, avoid them. It's not worth it. They ruin everything. And I would go, mom, you don't believe me. I wish you believed me. I don't do drugs. And plus, mom, if I wanted to, you and dad did all of them already, so there'd be none left. So after a while, that just kind of fell on, mom, I love you. You're watching. You're amazing. After a while, that advice just fell on deaf ears. I was just sick of hearing the same thing over and over again. And then one day, I remember, she said something different that struck me. She said, Bri-Bri, one more thing. Please be careful. There are fools, there are idiots out there who are drinking and driving, and they can hurt you. Please watch out. Pay attention. Wow, I wasn't really thinking about that, right? This was genuine concern from Mama, who just cared. She wanted me to watch out for those who might actually hurt me and harm me. So today I've titled our sermon, One More Thing. Because this is exactly what we find in our text today. As we are about out the door, today the Apostle Paul, a father in the faith, he has one more thing to say to God's kids. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, Pastor Josh said, if you love Jesus, you'll love his kids. Amen? Amen. And for 50 weeks now here, well, 48 if you want to get literal, settle down. We've been looking at this letter from the Apostle Paul, our father in the faith, a lover of Jesus, a lover of the church who cares and wants to protect the church. And if you remember, for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at this long list in chapter 16 as Paul is about to wrap this up of all of his friends, the people, 30-plus people and their families and the people who are meeting at the little small group house churches in their homes. He's encouraged. He loves them. He's greeting them. And then next week, he's going to be encouraging us with the people that are with Paul that he loves and he's rejoicing over. And it's amazing. But right in the middle of chapter 16, if you notice, it's like he just has a side tangent. Oh, and one more thing before you head on out the door. I got one more thing to tell you. And it can seem quite like out of nowhere, but I would believe, I would suggest, I think this is actually quite appropriate. I think it's quite normal. Again, thinking about your mama as you're heading out the door, I want to remind you one more thing. Tell Bacon I say I love him. Also, one more thing. Please watch out. It's exactly what we see here. Someone who deeply cares for God's kids. And so before we get into Paul's final warning and deep theological truth bomb, which is good, I think it's now is just as good a time as ever for me to just say this. This is your first big idea if you would like to follow along this weekend, is that we should really just praise God for the spiritual leaders who teach us and warn us and protect us, right? Can you think of the people in your life who've had a good impact that you would consider a good, healthy, spiritual mentor and authority in your life? Maybe it's a brother or sister in the faith. Maybe it's a mommy and daddy in the faith. Maybe it's your mommy and daddy straight up. Maybe it's your pastor who loves and cares for you in such a way that they don't just preach and love and pray for you, but they encourage and warn and protect you. They look out for you. I would encourage you. I gave you a piece of paper today. You could write down, who are those people that come to your mind? Why don't you write their names down? Think about who God brings to your mind. And I would encourage you to pray for them before the sun goes down. Why don't you pray for them and thank them for God putting them in your life? Or if you want to be really hardcore, I triple dog dare you. Shoot them a text. Encourage them. Greet them with a, what is it? What did Paul just say here? Greet them with a, what's that thing called? A kiss. No, y'all aren't ready for that. I think it's good for us to praise God and thank the spiritual leaders and mentors and pastors and brothers and sisters and mommies and daddies in the faith who have loved you and protected you. Amen?
Amen.
We've seen this for 50 weeks here. Paul cares for the church because just as true as it is that there are true, godly, spiritual leaders who care and protect God's flock, equally true, as our text makes clear, there are those who would also intentionally hurt, harm, and harass God's church. So we get to verse 17. You can follow along with me in Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Your next big idea. Watch out for those who will try to lead you away from the gospel. This is a warning. I appeal to you, brothers, sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Notice here we have this strong charge from the Apostle Paul. Notice this is not just a word to the pastors and the preachers and the shepherds. We've got plenty of warnings and instructions for shepherds and pastors and overseers. Acts 20, 1 Timothy, Titus, okay. But notice Paul is talking to you, brothers, sisters, children of God. This is not something going over our heads, okay? Paul cares for you. Paul cares for the church. He's saying one of my deepest concerns for you is that you might get yourself comfy. You might not take yourself a little, you're not paying attention. You're not watching out for what's around you. There are people who will try to harm you, derail you, deceive you from the truth once for all delivered to the saints. And when you look at history, when you look through the long line of church for 2,000 years, we have this long line of faithful believers who have stood fast in the faith. But equally true is that there is an equally long line of false teachers and false sheep with some sharp teeth who've come to deceive and lead away God's elect. So we have two commands in verse 17. Did you notice? The first one is watch out for those who would cause divisions, who would create obstacles, who would distort the truth and crush our unity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch out. Second command, avoid them. Now, before we get ourselves a little uncomfortable and confused, you might be thinking, wait, I thought Paul just said all of chapter 14 and 15 was all about our unity with one another, right? Aren't we supposed to dwell in unity with everyone and bear with everyone? Did Paul just change his mind? No. Remember the context. Chapters 14 and 15 is all about the beloved's unity that we have in the truth, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have unwavering unity. We're commanded to be united in the gospel. That is not what Paul is talking about here in chapter 16. We are very specific. We are talking about those who are division causing, truth blurring, obstacle creating, counterfeit gospels. This is different. And so the command is to watch out, avoid that which is contrary, contradicting to the doctrine that you have been taught. It is possible, beloved, for believers to be led away by things that are not the gospel. Are you watching? Are you paying attention? Now, what are these things? What are these things we should be watching out for? I'm so glad you asked that question. Here's a quick list. Where did my clicker go? There you go. I got these down for you. This is free. You can take a picture of this, save this for later. This will save you some time. Watch out and avoid these false teachings. Legalism, a religion of works righteousness. Paul has tackled this in chapters 2 and 3 and 4 and 7 and 9 and 10. This would be any false teaching that says in order for you to have a right standing with God or to earn or keep your salvation, you must adhere to an endless amount of religious rules and laws and customs, right? Or in order for God to love you or to accept you, or in order for you to get to the biggest pie in the sky that your religion has to offer, you have to prove to God your goodness by your deeds and your tithing and the long list of religious yucky, right? And isn't that the unfortunate reality of the city that we live in? That is what the predominant religion of our culture teaches today. We reject that. Paul has made it very clear in this letter that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. Anyone that would teach that salvation can be earned or kept by your own efforts is a false teacher. That is contrary, that is contradicting to the doctrine that we have been taught. It's contrary, it's contradicting to the person and work and the words of Jesus Christ himself. Additionally, the false teaching you need to watch out of universalism. This is the teaching that everybody ultimately is going to be saved, regardless of your beliefs or non-beliefs in your actions or your thoughts or what you do or you do not do, that over a long period of time in purgatory or some lower degree of heaven or some spiritual detention hall, God's going to settle down. He's like, everybody, all right, y'all can come in now. It's garbage. It's not what Jesus has said. That is not the truth once for all delivered to the saints. Salvation, eternal life, heaven, free to everyone who believe in Jesus Christ. Antinomianism. You guys are saying, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I like to call this the get out of jail free card. In Paul's day, in chapter 6 and chapter 8 and chapter 12, he's really combating this false teaching. A lot of people believe this today, that there are those who would say and believe that, well, because Jesus saves me from the law, I don't have to obey the law or Jesus or anything. I'm free to just live like twice a demon as hell as I was before because I said a prayer back in 98 and I got this get out of jail free card in my wall, and salvation ultimately means nothing more to you than a Cafe Rio punch card. It's a false faith. It's not the gospel. Romans teaches that while believers, yes, we are no longer under the condemnation of the law, we are called to live holy and righteous lives empowered now by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Furthermore, we find those and many others, false teachings poisoning the church today. We must watch out for those who would twist scripture. This would be the false teacher and false religion that would take scripture, that would take your Bible, sacred scripture, out of context to support their false teaching. They would distort and stuff biblical text, scripture, passages with their own agendas and interpretations, and thus leading people astray. This would include those who would water down truth, those who would dilute essential Christian doctrines to make their message more palatable and more appealing to a broader audience. For example, the person or the teaching or the church even that will avoid talking about sin and hell. They will downplay the seriousness of all of it, or they will reject or dilute the clear biblical teaching that Jesus is the only way to God. He is everyone's only hope for a savior, or blurring the lines of what is true, what God has made clear about his creation or gender or sexuality or his standard for marriage. Watch out for anything that would dilute what God has said. Relativism. This is the false teaching that all beliefs are equally valid. There are many ways which lead to God, and that absolutely undermines the exclusive claims of Christianity and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch out for the health and the wealth, the false gospel of promising you prosperity, the false teachers who would promise you material blessings and prosperity and healing in exchange for your financial contributions. They make a killing on this crap. I go go to the gym in the mornings and there's those treadmills and there's a whole line of TVs wrapped up, right? And you got ESPN and you got Buffy the Vampire Slayer and you got Bluey and what they had, like, I can't remember, the girl vampires, what was that called? No, I already said Buffy, yeah, but it said Slayer, so we'll say Slayer twice, yeah. And then there's this Christian TV station on two of the TVs. And every one of these preachers, every morning when I'm there at 6:30 in the morning, because I'm there every morning, like you could tell, right? It's these phonies saying if you send in your seed of faith, which is your money, they'll pray for you, and then your back pain will go away. And God will blow up your checking account with money, or if you just speak to your depression, or if you just speak to your fibromyalgia, and if you had enough faith, and if you said enough words, and if you also send me 20, 40 bucks a month, God will take all that away. That's garbage. It's embarrassing, and it's sitting on the treadmill. I'm not saying I'm ashamed of the gospel, but that's not the gospel, and I wish I could turn it off. Can't reach it. Stay away from that. Watch out for those who would offer you new revelations. False teachers always claim they have this in common, every one of them, especially the boom of false Christianities in the 19th century. They've all got new revelations from God that go beyond scripture. They have claimed to see God. They have met with God. They've spoke with God. They've got revelations. They've been approached by angels. They've been given new commands, new revelations, new gospels, new books, and they're all leading people away from the authority of sacred scripture and into error. This is serious. Furthermore, last but definitely not least, we must watch out for every false teaching and false teacher that would deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Every one of them doesn't. These errors include, but are not limited to, denying that Jesus ever claimed to be God, saying that Jesus is not God, but he's just a created being, that Jesus is not God, but he is the reincarnate archangel Michael. He is just a prophet. Jesus was once not God, but he came here and he proved himself worthy and became God, so therefore you can too. Touching home a little bit, I know. God has never said that's who he is. Listen to me, with just this small list right here, you can go down the list of every single false religion and cult and worldview and see that they do every one of these things. You can check off what every one of them teach from this list, and you know what you have is nothing but a false gospel. It's a false teaching. And notice Paul, again, he's warning not just to watch out for the bad teachings, but watch out for the people who propagate it. I appeal to you, brothers. Watch out for those. Who are those? Those are people. Watch out for those people. Avoid them. Did you know that there are people who will come into the Christian church or roll up onto your social media and into your podcasts and into your bookstores that walk and talk like believers do, use lots of language that believers use, but they do not actually believe what is the truth once for all delivered to the saints? Do you know? Can you spot it? Can you smell it? Can you taste it? Yeah. If you did not know that, let God wake you up. It is possible for believers to be led away by people who do not believe the gospel. Listen to verse 18. For such persons, people, do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. What Paul is saying here is their own bellies, or this would be their own idolatry. This is usually sex and money and fame and prosperity. Their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. There are people who would make it their goal and their aim to lead you away from safety and into danger. Do you know what this is the spirit of? Your enemy, Satan. Think about that. Think about the accuser's tactic in the garden with your first parents, Adam and Eve. They're having a good old time, naming stuff. Everything was good. They're with the Lord. And then Satan shows up and he goes, hey, what's up, guys? What do y'all think about that tree over there? Got some pretty tasty fruit on it, right? What do y'all think? Why don't we share a meal? Why don't you go grab a piece of that? Let's split that thing open. Let's share a meal. We're buddies, right? Wait, what? God said what? Oh, God said if you ate from that, you would die. Oh, God, that's a little extreme. Did he really say that? Are you sure? You know what I think? I think, you know what I tell you? I think if you eat from this tree, you eat from the fruit of this tree, you won't die. I think if you eat from it, you'll live. Do you see it? Blurring lines, twisting scripture, denying God. Every one of them from that list. Same thing with Jesus, right? When he tempted Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. What's up, Lord? What's up, JC? You look hungry, man. 40 days? Wow. Hey, since you are the Son of God, you're looking pretty hungry. Why don't you, let's have a meal. Let's share some, make some bread. Look at those stones over there. Why don't you do your whole Son of God thing? Make us some bread. Let's have a meal. The cross? Nah, don't do that whole going to the cross thing. Look, everything could be yours now. Let's just, you don't really got to go to the cross, right? Do you see it? That's what our enemy does. The great deceiver. No new tricks. It's the same thing, same bag. Disguises himself as an ally. Masquerades as an angel of light, a friend, smooth talk, flattery, twisting scripture, blurring lines, giving new revelation, denying Christ, hell-bent on killing and destroying every man and woman made in the image of God. That's why we say false teaching is so serious. The early church considered false teaching more dangerous than being martyred. Did you know that? You know why they believed that? Sinclair Ferguson says it great. He says, because martyrdom can never really kill you. False teaching always will. This is serious. This is why Paul, a father in the faith who loves Jesus' kids, a spiritual father loves his children, says, watch out. Because here's the thing with deception. Guess what? It's deceptive. It's misleading, it's sleight of hand, it's trickery. False teachers and false believers, they don't just show you their cards. Their Instagram handles aren't falseteacher97. Their email's not hereticforyou@gmail.com. That's their thing. They're not gonna show up at your door looking like devils with pitchforks in their hand. They don't roll into the church straight up saying, you got me, I'm here to deceive you. They're often quite charming. Friendly. They don't gain a following by being harsh and mean. They get it with smooth talk, flattery. They may look real nice, real attractive, dress well, eloquent speech, using words that sounds very Christian, but they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, their own bellies, their own idolatries and perversions, sex, money, fame, power, you name it. We must watch out for those who would try to lead you away from the gospel. Amen? Our next big idea from the text, we have a responsibility to exercise spiritual discernment. In this final teaching from our beloved Paul, it's this call for you and I to get serious. Get serious about exercising spiritual discernment. Again, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out, right? Paul's saying you must be able to spot this. You must be able to taste it. You go, whoa, this is bad. This is not gospel. This is contradicting, right? This is a charge for us to exercise spiritual discernment, to know truth from error. Again, please notice that the Apostle Paul is not speaking over the church and just to the pastors and shepherds and overseers, okay? I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, my babies in the faith that I love. Please pay attention. You have a responsibility to exercise spiritual discernment. 1 John, listen to what John says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do you have discernment to know what is truth and error? How do you know how to grow in spiritual discernment? It's a great question, right? I could spend the rest of our time, I wish I could, giving you resources on the A to Z's of false teachings and false teachers who have risen up throughout the church history. And you could do years and years of studying, and I promise you it would be really beneficial for you. And I can give you plenty of resources if you want to hit me up after. But the simple answer is this. I say, beloved, we got to learn God's word. Dr. Sproul, God rest his soul, said it great. When we are grounded in God's word, we are protected from the lies and deceptions of the enemy, your enemy. It is an armor. spiritual battle. You want to protect yourself and your family and your loved ones from the wolves who would try to harm you. Cling to God's word. Absorb it. Live it. Love it. Know it. Get yourself so learned on what the gospel actually is that you can spot error and false teaching and false teachers from a mile away. 2 Timothy 3 says it great. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for you, for teaching you, for reproving, for correcting you and those around you, right? That's what God's word does. It instructs us. It strengthens us. Get so serious about God's word, he will protect you. He will transform you. He will strengthen you. Get yourself a Bible. They look like this, beloved. Open it up. Get into it. Be grounded in it. Man, I tell you what, if y'all gave 1/10 of the time to the Bible that you give to social media over the next year, you wouldn't imagine what kind of man or woman in the Lord you would be. Y'all don't want to hear that. Get serious about being a part of the body. The church, when you're coming here, you're a part of something bigger than yourself. How can you be a part of the body apart from the body? You come here, you get in God's word, you sit in church with other people that are here hungry for the word, and then you listen to the sermon, right? When you're sitting under the preaching and teaching, pay attention. Spurgeon said it great. Preaching of God's word is not just informative, but transformative. And then when you're coming to church with your Bibles and you're hearing the preaching of the word, take some notes. Right? We give you these every single week to fill out and take some notes. These are good for you. They'll help you remember and grow. We don't print these because we hate trees. Get yourself in a small group with men and women from church that you meet and you see at church who are here with their Bibles looking to hear from the Word of God and they're taking notes. Get in a small group with folks like that. Man, I tell you what, I get together with some dudes and read the Bible every week and it just energizes me. It's like a dead battery all week and those boys just charge me up. It's awesome. And then ask some questions. You got a lot of questions, right? What is true? What is false? I'm glad you asked. Write it down. What did that dude say about that? Write it down. Ask people questions. When you show up to small group with your people and your friends from church who got their Bibles, who are listening to the sermons and taking notes, and they're writing down questions, you write down questions. Talk about what you've got on your mind. God will transform you. I'm telling you, you do these things, I assure you, you're going to grow. In your walk with Jesus, you're going to grow in your confidence and your assurance of your salvation, and you're going to grow in your spiritual discernment. You got to know this book. The better you know it, love it, live by it, the better we're able to spot every false gospel and false teacher who would try to harm the church. Piper says, the Bible is the greatest weapon. You notice this language? A lot of war, huh? Enemy, weapon, protection, guard. Battle. The Bible is the greatest weapon against the schemes of your enemy. It's a safeguard, refuge, fortress. Amen. Now, additionally, I would say this. That's pretty harsh. Oh, Pastor Brian with the hard verses. There we go again. Beloved, it's going to take spiritual discernment to know who's a deceiver and who is simply deceived. What do I mean? There will be people who will come into this church who do not believe in the biblical Jesus, who may believe a false gospel their entire life, and they are coming into a local church hoping to find truth and hope and joy and rest, okay? You have to be able to understand in this situation, this is not a false teacher looking to lead people astray. This calls for us to grab a different tool from the spiritual tool belt, doesn't it? We have to walk in wisdom towards outsiders when it comes to that, right? Oh, we're talking something different. I need to be able to give a defense for the hope that I have with gentleness and with respect, not avoid and cast this person out. No. We're commanded to love and to sympathize and reason with those who believe in a different gospel, to give a defense for the hope that we have, gentleness and with respect, right? Because who is this? This might be your own parents, huh? This might be your spouse. This might be your children. This might be your boss. This might be a loved one, right? We are commanded to love and respect and honor and serve and pray for them because we want to have opportunities to be lights and to shower them with the truth of the cross. And so we welcome everyone who comes through these doors, but this is not the case when we come to a false teacher or a false gospel peddler who would come into the Lord's house looking to deceive and lead away God's children, okay? We do not allow for that, not for the sake of love. That's the line we draw. As your pastor, I have no problem saying this on behalf of my co-pastors, Billy and Josh and Bill and Mac and Tony and Caleb. We will feed and protect and lay down our lives for the sheep. And we will be so patient and so kind and so peaceful to our unsaved friends and family and visitors who come through these doors, people who may believe a false gospel, who have been deceived, hurt, led astray, people who are looking for the joy and rest that can only be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I know there are many people under my voice right now. If I haven't offended you already, I'm just trying to reason with you right now. You may be sitting here going, I have been raised in every single one of those things you just said about false teachers and false believers. You may right now still be struggling with that thought or struggling to recover from this. I want you to know you are welcome here. There is hope and healing in the word of God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so we as a church exist for you to know him. But I'll also tell you this, we will not tolerate wolves. A good shepherd does not reason with the wolf coming into his shepherd home. What do you call it? What is shepherds? Fields? Indoor kid, what's up? You do not reason with the wolves hunting your sheep. You shoot the wolves. We love the Lord's sheep. We grieve over those who are lost without a shepherd, and we welcome them, but we shoot the wolves. We will protect the church. And every daddy in this room who would say, I will not allow anyone to come into my home and harm my babies, said, amen. Amen. Now, verse 19. Oh, encouragement. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Remember the last 2 weeks, these men and women that Paul knows and he loves and he cares for and he prays for, he's rejoicing. He's like, I've heard about your faith, your obedience, keeping away from the false teaching that continually trying to invade the church. You guys are crushing it. I'm rejoicing over you for the sake of the gospel and for the unity and for protection. Be wise as to what is good and innocent to what is evil. Thank you, Paul. Now, after Paul gives that little encouragement, he drops this last big theological truth bomb in our letter. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That was y'all shouting moment. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Your last big idea this weekend is the God of peace will destroy your enemy. Oh man, how I love that. Oh, I love it. And I know you hear me say this a lot, but the Lord Jesus Christ is so metal, you guys. That's so awesome. Did you know that this is the first reference to Satan in the book of Romans? 16 and a half chapters, no explicit mention of our enemy. And now Paul has one final thing for us. And it's this whole letter. There are endless things trying to tear down the church, beloved. Divisions, false teachers, false believers, false gospels, scripture twisting, new revelations, denying the deity of Christ. Go down the list like we just mentioned, right? But it all ultimately points back to one person, Satan. Church, you have an enemy. You have an accuser. He is the murderer from the beginning, and he is seeking to destroy you, always on the prowl. And the God of peace will soon crush him under your feet. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but it sounds like to me when the Lord Jesus comes back to judge the world in perfect righteousness, I'm going to look down. That's cool. I can't wait. I got the best seat in the house. Hallelujah. This is such a glorious promise of future deliverance. I love this verse so much because do you know what it declares about God? He is not passive about the war over your soul. He's active. He sees evil. He sees deception. He hates it. And he steps in to rescue us. He makes war. We call it the cross, right? Now, this text is not undermining the gentleness of our God, okay? The Lord Jesus is the God of peace, but he's not handing out peace signs. He's not a hippie prancing around, tiptoeing through the tulips. Jesus is the God of peace, yes, but his peace comes by him raging war against sin and death and the devil. Jesus' victory over Satan really is like the central theme of the gospel, isn't it? In this verse, we get this bold image of who our God is. He is the God of infinite strength and power and provision, and who righteously hates anything that would harm his sons and daughters. My man Sinclair says this: in order to bring deliverance, God becomes violent to everything and anything that will damage his children. Whew. I think sometimes as believers, we may intentionally or unintentionally neglect this attribute of our Lord. He's this king who conquers and he overthrows and he exercises his power by going to war against your enemy to rescue his sons and daughters. Man, I'm feeling like a Puritan. Lord, bless me. Where am I going with this? Beloved, Jesus did not sign a petition to free you. He didn't plant a tree. He didn't volunteer at the soup kitchen to release Satan's grasp over you. He came to make war with your enemy. And he goes to the cross. Beloved, you have an enemy. Paul's warning us. You have an enemy, a spiritual bully, who mocks and harms and harasses. He seeks to enslave your children and ruin your marriage and rob you of your joy. Are you paying attention? Are you watching out for the idiots driving, trying to crash into you? Are you paying attention? And your enemy, the Lord God, is not making peace with him. Does that not excite anybody in this room today? You ever see those videos online of the bullies who get themselves bullied? Oh, Lord help me today. I love them. Maybe y'all seen the video. There's this video. It was on Dr. Phil once, I think, too. There's a kid walking in school. He's a blind kid. He's legally blind and he can't see. And this bully's just wailing on him. Have you guys seen that video? And this blind kid's just trying to dodge the fists that are coming at his face that he can't see. And then out of nowhere, that blind kid's friend shows up and one shots the bully, and the bully goes night-night. And I watch that video 150 times, and every time, do you know what I say? Amen. Amen. I'm just saying what y'all want to admit. You're scared to admit, maybe. Oh, I love it. If you're honest, you love it too, right? It's called vengeance. But vengeance does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. That is what Paul promises here. It's beautiful. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Quite the paradox, isn't it? The God of peace crushes. God goes to war for us, and there's eternal victory in Jesus. So my last question for you this evening, it's a big one. Do you love the thought of this God? Do you love him? Do you love this? The strong and all-powerful one who goes to war for you. Oh, I hope you love that God. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Would you protect us with your word? protect us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to thank you for the good, godly, spiritual leaders who you put in our lives, who love us and care for us and protect and warn us. Would you strengthen them today? Would you encourage them today? And Lord, would you strengthen us by the power of your word, that we would be wise to what is good, we'd be innocent to that which is evil. God, protect your church from those who would try to harm it. Thank you, that is who you are. Lord, protect us from our enemy. Thank you, Jesus, that we know that there is victory, that you will soon crush Satan under our feet. We praise you. And then, Lord, in the next moment, you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and you will bring us safely home. We love you, Jesus. All God's children said, amen.